Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear from you. Call us and give us your comments, questions, and we'll do our best to answer them for you. Today is day 79 of Memorial Day celebration. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, sweetie. Memorial Day celebration, what does that mean? Well, we decided on Memorial Day that we were going to celebrate every day for the rest of eternity, Memorial Day, and invite everybody that listens to the show and to look for ourselves at one area in your life where you have some form of hostility or fear, which means you're a contributor to war, and take responsibility for that and change it. So that's our invitation to you. If you don't know how to change it, of course, most people live without knowing how to change those things. They think that, well, you know, that's just the way it is. What's in me is the way it is. It's permanent. There's nothing I can do to change it. And the fact is, there's nothing permanent about anything in you, including your genetics. It is your right to change them anytime you choose to acquire the skill of removing the content that prompts you to behaviors that you say, I'd rather not do that. Genetics are designed to be advice, activated on demand by the environment or by our thoughts. But if they run you, you're in trouble. You're a master bound by the servants in your own household. So what we're looking to do is to restore you to choice, restore you to the place where instead of simply living out of the dynamics, you know, the ancient teachings, they said, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. To get out of living in that shadow and recognize everything is changeable, every fear, every hostility over which you seem to have no control, that perhaps you've sworn 1,000 times, I'm never going to do it again, is absolutely changeable. Of course, without the tools, you can't change it. So if you're not familiar with the tool that we're talking about, the primary tool is the ancient Aramaic idea of forgiveness. And that's the tool with which you change what's happening right down, including in your genetics. It's got nothing to do with letting other people off the hook. We've been tricked. We've been tricked, and it's kept us stuck in these patterns for too many generations. You remember in the ancient teachings, they said that to get out of the desert, they had to get rid of the old generations. That didn't mean everybody in old physical bodies had to physically die, but rather we needed to remove, root of the word generation, as generare is cause, we needed to remove those old causes. Forgiveness is how to do it. If you're not familiar with the forgiveness conversation we're having, please go to www.whyagain.com. That's our website, www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. Download the first 3 links under that. It'll give you a whole written explanation of the forgiveness process. It'll give you a copy of the worksheet. And then the third link is an awesome radio show that we did about 10 days ago, where a young lady courageously worked through some major issues, and we walked her right through. You get a full set of instructions on how to do the forgiveness process, the worksheet, and see the impact on somebody's life who's willing to make changes. So that's where we're heading, and we're delighted that you're here. Jeannie, do we have any callers or anything in the chat room to talk about?
No, there's several people in the chat room and on the switchboard both, but they're all just listening. Tim and David both are on, so we're glad that they're with us today. But there's no questions yet.
Okay. Hello, Tim. Hello, Dr. David.
Hello. Go ahead, David, while your phone's working.
Oh, it's working today. Oh, good. Wow. Good to hear your voice, Tim. And I'm looking forward to hearing about the workshops that you guys are going to do. I think it's just absolutely fabulous that you've created that space for that to happen. And I'm contacting some people, you know, from that I know in the Chicago area and encouraging, inviting them to participate while Michael is there and take that opportunity. So thank you very much, Tim.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the support.
And how is Dr. Tim?
Doing quite well today. Another beautiful day in Illinois. Very busy, blessedly busy, trying to keep everything moving and flowing so that the way is paved for the big seminar series we're going to do next week with Dr. Rice.
Awesome. I sure look forward to being there. Look forward to seeing how it all unfolds and just what happens. And so for those who are in Chicago, if you haven't heard yet, we are going to be up there next Sunday. This coming Sunday. Actually, we'll finish here at about 10 o'clock Saturday morning and then be getting in the van and driving to Chicago to start a workshop series Sunday afternoon from noon to 3 o'clock at a place called the Center for Evolution in Cary, Illinois. So that's where we'll be. Tell us about Cary, David, or Tim.
Well, Cary is right on Northwest Highway, about an hour and 15 or 20 minutes, an hour from Chicago, the limits of Chicago. And the group has been there. David started the group just one town down from Cary about 6 years ago, and I've been running the group for the past 5 years. We were in Cary, we were in Fox River Grove, and now we're in Crystal Lake. They're all towns right in a line, right on Northwest Highway, extending out of Chicago, on a line north-northwest, heading up towards the Rockford area. But it's a little town. It's accessible through the train through Cary that goes all the way into Chicago. So it's a very convenient location, and we're looking forward to having plenty of people there to fill the seats.
So people can actually take a train there and do that easily from downtown Chicago or what have you?
Yeah, it's like a block and a half from the train station in Cary, and there's a train line that runs out of Chicago Northwest that goes to within a block and a half or 2 blocks
Chicago
of the church.
By train.
Say it again. We covered up voices there. David, did you say something?
Well, I was just saying that's the best way to travel in Chicago is with that train. And as Tim was saying, you know, take a train, catch a train, get off, walk a block and a half, and they're there. Yeah, it's fabulous.
Cool. Fabulous. So Sunday through Saturday, actually. Sunday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night from 7 to 9:30. And then Saturday, we're going to do an all-day workshop. So Sunday through Friday will be free, open workshops. And then on Saturday, we'll do mind shifters and still point breathing. That'll start at 8 in the morning, go till about 6 at night. And that one, there is a fee involved. And the flyers, if you want to pick them up, are on www.whyagain.com. We're working on a second week of venue in the Chicago area, but nothing's solidifies yet, so we're just moving along. So anything exciting on your mind today, Tim?
I'm trying to formulate how to work this in. I just saw a thing when I was loading up my browser to get on the chat room. There was a thing about a 4-year-old Pentecostal preacher, and I was trying to formulate how the work we do can help us see past that kind of brainwashing, and how each of us, even if we didn't have a Pentecostal preacher as a parent when we were 2 or 3 or 4 years old, we have been thoroughly brainwashed and conditioned by the culture to believe things about our minds and about the way they work that just aren't true. So that was going to be my topic for today, the idea of undoing all of that conditioning that says other people cause me to feel certain things, other people cause me to do what I do, etc.
Right. Now tell me this again. A four-year-old Pentecostal preacher, did you say?
Yes. It's his parents have a video of him at 2 years old marching around the stage, shouting into a microphone, and now at 4 years old, he's being interviewed on NBC as a four-year-old preacher and an internet sensation. And it is so clear that he is mimicking the Pentecostal preachers that he has seen, and that he has no understanding of what he's saying. But people are standing and cheering him, and now he's an international hit because he's preaching the word of Jesus in the Pentecostal meetings on stage with a microphone. They've made him a podium that fits him as a four-year-old.
Interesting. All kinds of things.
And it just made me think of how each of us, even if it's not that extreme and dramatic, each of us has extraordinary conditioning that we need to recognize and dismantle if we're going to see the world accurately.
Right. Absolutely. And the conditioning is pretty amazing in the culture. And Jeannie's telling me we've got a caller on the line, sweetie. Got a caller, Jeannie?
It's actually not a caller on the line. It's a conversation in the chat room. This lady says, let me roll all the way back up. I need help. I've never been able to hold a relationship. My first boyfriend did magic, and ever since we broke up, no man will ever get close to me, and the man that I'm in love with, without me doing anything, gets mad and goes further away, just like that, and I don't know what to do. I chatted with a feng shui expert once, and on that day, my luck was changed, and my life was different, but then after that, one day, then it got bad again, and she tells me that she saw in my heart embedded, she's mine, no one can have her. That scares me. I'm losing the love of my life and getting alone each day. Can you help me?
Well, the best support that I could be for you would be, please go to the website, download those three links that we spoke about at www.whyagain.com. You get a sense of how it is you create your life. You know, the feng shui expert, the psychic, the preacher, whoever, whatever, can't recreate your life for you. Somebody can impact you and shift your energy so things change, but they'll tend to always go back because you haven't taken responsibility and made the change. So notice that the language that you're using is about how something outside of you and life is just being done to you. And I'd offer life is not being done to you. You know, probably the greatest atrocity done to us as human beings down through the ages and that we've bought into is that we've hidden from ourselves and bought into the idea that we're not creators. You and I are creators. And you recognize that if you listen to the ancient teachings, they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. The issues in life are the things we create. And so it sounds like there's a lot of fear around loss and around relationship. So I suggest digging out that reality management worksheet, start putting the pen to the paper and doing some forgiveness. Remove from your heart those fears, and what you'll find is the ability to start creating your life differently again. If you listen to the third link under the download worksheets at www.whyagain.com, right-hand side, there's a link that says download worksheets. Go to the third link, and in that third link, you'll find an MP3 of a show we did about 10 or 12 days ago with a young lady who was very courageous and was feeling victim to a situation And she walks through the worksheet. There's a full set of instructions in that video, and you can see the awesome power of doing Aramaic forgiveness. And forgiveness will have nothing to do with letting your boyfriend or anybody else off the hook. It will have to do with changing the content of your own mind. So we invite you to pick those tools up, put them to work, and you'll find that changes will start to occur, and they will be permanent changes. There will be new layers and new levels of issues to look at, to deal with, but you can take charge of your life, and you can move it in whatever direction you choose. Refuse to take charge of your life, and what will happen is your life will move in the direction of whatever's structured in you, from your genetic programming, from your environmental program. And so that would be my input, is let's start there. Pick up the worksheet, put the pen to the paper. If you have any questions on the worksheet as you do it, feel free to call us. We'll be glad to answer them right here on the show, because any question you have about the worksheet will be someone else's question too. Tim, do you have any input for that young lady?
Well, just as you said, it's odd that my filter says this is very much what we were just mentioning. We've been conditioned to believe other people cause the energies within us and other people cause our thoughts and feelings and reactions, and it's all part of what we need to dismantle one piece at a time. Often big chunks fall off, but if I attack it as it comes up for me, if I have a fear that I'm not going to have a relationship to somebody else, that simply means I've been conditioned to believe I have to have an attachment to either the idea of relationship or an attachment to that particular person. And that attachment, as I create it, in the moment I create it, makes it impossible for me to be happy. Then even if I get that thing that I think I need to have me make me happy, as soon as I get it, then I'm going to be fearful that I might lose it. So it's a vicious cycle, and it's based on the conditioning that says, I don't have enough within me to be happy, and that other people cause my happiness or my sadness or my irritation. And so I would offer that a really good thing to do a Michael Rice or a reality management worksheet on is my attachment to this person or that thing or the idea that I need to be in a relationship. Because that can stir up the beliefs and the negative emotions that need to be dismantled. So I'm in strong favor of, as Michael says, putting the pen to the paper and just keep doing worksheets, because one will lead to another, and eventually if you listen to the audio from August 2nd, Lynn had big chunks of issues from three separate events in her life come up, get right in her face, and then get released all within a half an hour to a 40-minute period. And it's a process that is well worth the time and energy, and it's worth facing the fear that most of us have to face in order to pick up the paper and the pen and start putting it down in writing.
Absolutely. And on the website, there are a whole series of tools, a whole series of worksheets. But the primary one, the one to start with, is the reality management sheet, the second link on the site under download worksheet.
Hey, Michael, there's another.
Go ahead.
In the chat room. Nancy says, I've read your book in the last 2 days. It has resonated in me something that I'm not sure what it is. I have so much work to do, I don't know where to start. I have and am still ruining relationships, and this has been going on for 40 years now. I have been diagnosed with a health issue, or what I would call disease. I have pushed so many people out of my life, like my daughters, I have a feeling I know what it is, but I'm afraid to find out what it is. And now my granddaughter, it seems, doesn't like me. She said she feels something when she's around me, and it makes her cold. I've tried to do the form, but now I'm stuck. So I gave her a note back and said, can she call in and let's discuss the stuck point?
Yeah, let's see what the challenge is on the form, if you're having trouble with that. And you don't have to follow the patterns of the generations. And it's time, rather than, you know, there's a cool quote from Albert Einstein. He says, a man does not have to thoughtlessly submit hereditary prejudices, but honestly and courageously uses his intelligence. So when we honestly and courageously face ourselves, if I'm afraid to look at what's at the root of what I've been doing all my life, I just condemn myself to keep doing that all my life. Because that fear, and I'll go back as far as Job in the Old Testament, he says, that which I feared most has come upon me. And so when we're courageous enough to open that barrier, that veil that keeps things hidden, in touch to the unconscious parts of ourselves, we're able to start to change those parts of ourselves. As long as we're unwilling to face them directly, then we get to face them over and over and over and over again as the seeming things that victimize us. It's time to undo victimhood. Time to wake up. Time to get out of the unconscious state and just playing the patterns of the generations. Become a conscious human being. You have exactly the same amount of personal power any human being that has ever existed. If it is wrapped up in your own unconscious dynamics and what you're hiding from yourself, then it will seem that you're powerless over your life. Dig out that worksheet, start to use it, and what you'll find is each time you let go of the blame game, blaming somebody else for what's happening, including blaming yourself, then you'll be able to reclaim that power. And as that power in you becomes more conscious, you will more consciously be able to create exactly what you want, the results you want in your life. And that's what we're here to do as human beings. And, you know, the world has sold us a bill of goods that we're some kind of weak, helpless bottles of hostility and fear. And you know that's not true if you simply go and hold a newborn child. You'll know exactly what human life is. The work is about reclaiming, the power of your human life, reclaiming the awesome presence of your human life, experiencing directly who you are and who you are, and you're no different than any other being. It's a ego trip to say, oh, I'm no good. That's one of the big ego trips of all ego trips. Oh, there's something defective about me. There's nothing defective about you. You are created the same as every human being that has ever been created, the awesome presence of love. If you have a multi-generational database, which that means you've got a body, in it are the dynamics of all the generations, and they run you. There are a set of skills and there are a set of tools to strengthen your spiritual, your higher faculties, to take charge lower and be done with the garbage and get on with creating your life consciously. That's the space we hold for you. That's the vote we have for you. You can do it, same as anybody else has done it. Go ahead, sweetie.
Okay, I'm not sure. Is Nancy, are you area code 321?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome. This is Jackie?
No, Nancy. She's the one in the chat room that said she was stuck.
Okay, Nancy, how can we support you?
Oh, I tried starting my sheet with my... can you hear me?
Go ahead. Say it again.
I started my reality management sheet with my stepfather, and I got so far, and then I just plainly got stuck. I just wonder if this is a sign that this isn't where I should start.
Yeah. Is your stepfather one of the big issues in your life?
He's one of the
big issues. Did you say stepfather
or
stepdaughter?
He's my stepfather.
Okay.
So is he one of the big issues in your life?
I would say he's part of them, and my mother.
Okay. So what I would offer is that forgiveness is a skill that you build through practice. And like any other skill, you don't start in the big leagues. You know, if let's say you had a daughter who said, hey, Mom, I want to learn to play baseball. She's 10 years of age. Would you hand her a baseball bat and put her in front of the pitcher for the New York Yankees? Of course not. She'd say, swing the bat a few times and say, well, can't do it. You can't hit a baseball with a baseball bat. what you do would be to show her how to hold the bat, show her how to swing the bat, lob the ball to her from a close distance, and get her to the point where she can finally really swing that bat, and then, you know, she can get up in front of the pitcher for the New York Yankees. So what I would suggest you do is to start with some smaller issues. The radio show, the link that's there, the third one down, was a woman who had just been recently introduced to the work, and she had such an enormous amount of willingness that she was able to jump right into. Actually, she took on three major issues in a row, just click, click, click through one worksheet and made monumental progress. But especially if you're doing this on your own, I would suggest that you start with just a small irritation or a small upset, and you build the brain cells for how the tool works and how to use the tool, and then move progressively into more and more difficult issues. So that would be my input, is to start there with the with something smaller.
Okay.
And if you have a specific question where you are stuck, I'd be happy to support you in that. If you want to let me know what that question is, what step you're on, and where you're getting the stuck point is.
I'm not sure. I have so many questions, I just don't know what to ask.
What step are you on?
Well, since I just started a new one on men in general, I just don't understand them. I have so many problems with them and females, I have no...
Well, you know, there's the old game of the battle of the sexes, and there's a story about a man who does this great and wonderful deed, and God comes to visit him and says, "What you've done is so awesome, I will give you anything you want." And the man says, "Well, you know, I'm from England, and like, you know, being here in America, you know, here I am in South Florida. What I would like is a highway from South Florida to England, and, you know, so that I can go visit my family there anytime that I want. I don't like to fly." God says, "Oh, gee, you know, that's such a huge project. I mean, do you know how far that is? And, you know, the storms and what it would take to that. I mean, you know, how about asking for something else?" And the guy thinks for me. He says, "Well, okay." He says, "What I'd like to do is understand women." And God replies, "Would you like that highway 2-lane or 4-lane? You know, and of course, you know, we can turn the story around the other way, and it's women understanding men. You're never going to understand men. You're never going to understand yourself. But what you can do is you can forgive everything inside yourself that brings you into pain in relationship with men. What I can guarantee from the little bit that you've said is if you look back in your life, you can remember being a small child and watching the conflict between the men and the women in your life. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so as you as a child watch that happening, the tendency is to take on the energetic patterns of those conflicts. And in the next million years, you're not going to understand those. However, what you can do when you put the pen to the paper is you can go in and forgive those conflicts. You can go in and remove them from your mind so that you can move to the other side of it and create your life consciously. You know, in one of the workshops we do called Codependence to Interdependence, we talk about what I call the pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind. And one of the pseudo-solutions is, if I could just figure this out. You can't figure it out. There's no figuring it out. What you can do, however, is you can delete it from your mind. You can remove that, and that's what the forgiveness process is about. Have you listened to that MP3 download, the third link underneath the worksheet on the website?
Yes.
Okay. So you understand the flow of the worksheet then?
Yeah. Like I said, I try to do sheets, and I just keep drawing a blank. I guess there's just too many things for me to try to figure out once and which area is most important.
Right. Well, again, I'm going to suggest you start with the smaller things, not the most important ones, or else you're like the person taking a baseball bat for the first time and you're going to stand up in front of the pitcher for the New York Yankees. I guarantee you're not going to hit the ball. So rather than figuring it out, rather than starting with the big stuff, take some small irritations and small upsets and start to get used to that tool and how it works. Build the brain cells for how it works, and then you'll find you can go into deeper and deeper and deeper issues, and you'll just be able to throw those dynamics out. Again, figuring it out will never work. That's not one of the things that will solve your problems. Forgiving it will.
Right, I understand.
Cool.
Okay,
again,
thank you.
If there's a specific step, you know, I've asked a couple times, you know, are you on step three and you not know what to do? What's your question? Give me a specific question, and I think I can help you to move to another level in understanding the worksheet.
Well, I started a new one, and I guess what I should start with is why I keep ending up in dead-end jobs. I mean, I work in construction with men, and I just keep getting laid off. So it sort of makes me angry and makes me, you know, feel worthless at times or not good enough.
So if you look back in your life and you think about mom, how often did you see your mom really being at peace and talking about how she felt good enough to really live an awesome life?
Never.
Never. So you're now looking at a deep multi-generational issue when you start looking at, I'm not good enough.
Right.
That's another major issue. It's another major issue in your life. So that's one of those worksheets. You know, when they ask the man named Yeshua, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is seven enough? In Aramaic, what he said was 77 times 70. You're not going to get through those deep multi-generational issues in one worksheet.
Right.
It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. It's going to take work to do that. So if you look at what step are you on with that worksheet?
1B.
Okay. So
describe what happened.
Right. Have you described the situation yet?
With my mother, yes. it states that she was, you know, never there for me. She was an alcoholic. She always threatened to take her life in front of us kids. She never gave us the love that we needed.
Great.
So if you come from a world where I believe that I'm never going to get what I need, how well do you suppose that kind of thought and that kind of internal dynamic is going to transfer to your relationships with men or to your relationships with those in a job?
Yeah, I see it every day.
So once again, I'm going to suggest that perhaps starting with some lighter issues, you know, I'm irritated at Charlie because he told me this or that or whatever. Start to work with some smaller issues and work your way up to these bigger. You know, you've talked about your father-in-law, major issue. You've talked about your job, always ending up in jobs where you get laid off, another big issue. And then, you know, never being taken care of by mom or feeling worthy. They're major life issues. And remember, you're starting with a new tool. I really support you in keeping on with this tool, but starting with the smaller issues to start to get a handle on how to use the tool instead of starting at the top and I'm going to work out the big major life issues. That's kind of a way to sabotage yourself. Well, I'll start with the big one and see if it works. And, of course, first time it doesn't work, it's easy to say, oh, well, this doesn't work, so I'll throw it away. I will tell you that I've watched people with every kind of life issue you can imagine work through those issues in magnificent ways using that worksheet process. But it is a practice, and it does take some time.
Right. Hey, I just don't. I guess I don't realize what is the small issue for me because I guess everything seems to be big.
Yeah. Well, just look around at your life. Where are there some small irritations or small upsets that you could work with? Where are you located, by the way?
In Florida.
What? Whereabouts in Florida?
Melbourne, Florida.
Melbourne, okay. Well, you know, there's a Unity Church there in Melbourne that we've spoken at before. We're going to be touring Florida this year, and we'll probably be putting a call into Unity of Melbourne to see about coming and doing a workshop series there. You might contact them and just see if they've got us on their calendar yet, and that will spur them to be contacting us to get a date set to be back in Melbourne. It's probably been 3 or 4 years since we've been there. And if we set that up,
okay,
we'd come and we'd do a full week. We'd be there to do a live, full, free week of workshops, just like what we're doing in Chicago next week. So that would be awesome if you wanted to call them and just say you'd heard that that I might be coming and I'm on the calendar.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I just found their flyer today on your website. So, yeah, I copied it, and I'm going to go look into that.
Cool. Well, check with Unity of Melbourne and see... see where it's at. Tell them you'd like to see us coming there and doing a workshop series, and hopefully we'll get that scheduled maybe for sometime in the latter part of this year or the early part of 2012.
Okay.
All
right, thank
awesome.
You.
Delighted. Blessings.
No, thank you.
Anything else in the chat room or any other calls?
No, that's all so far.
Say it again.
I said that's all so far.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, we humans, if you just hold a newborn child, you know exactly how we start out. And the world starts to put its thumbprints on us, its hostilities, its fears, its messages of inadequacy, of evil, of the idea that there's something defective about us. And the truth is, none of us were created defective. We do have some defective stuff in this multi-generational database we call a body-mind unit, but that's no inherent part of who we are. And the ancient teachings of this man named Yeshua, popularly known as Jesus, but his name was not Jesus, wasn't about doctrine or dogma. It was about how to take charge of your life and to overcome those painful and insane thumbprints, those energies that have been placed upon us when we weren't powerful enough to refuse them. We didn't know how to refuse them. They were things that were passed on to us genetically, and these energies that come in the form of fearful and hostile thoughts and emotions and experiences are all absolutely changeable. And when we come into the world as this newborn, awesome presence of love, each of these assaults tends to resonate an internal family or genetic pattern that we hold. And if those patterns aren't based in love, a mindset or an attitude of fear and hostility develops and ultimately tends to take over. And so when you recognize that, you hear what's generally presented as a nice philosophy called the Beatitudes. And we did do a show on those a couple of weeks ago. If you look in the archives, it lays out the whole Aramaic Beatitudes. But in the Beatitudes, it speaks about taking responsibility for developing a certain mindset. The world puts its mindset, our family systems, our cultural systems, tend to brainwash us and put their mindset onto us. And so Yeshua had an understanding that there was a natural mindset that came with the package, and that natural mindset is one of a true human life. And so if you find yourself doing things against your own will and choice, if you find yourself creating out of patterns that you go, this doesn't seem right, this isn't what a human life is about, then your task will be to reclaim your human life from those genetic and environmental patterns. And as you reclaim your human life, you'll stop doing things against your own will and choice. in the Beatitudes, the opening word of each of the Beatitudes speaks about a latent neural structure, or what in Aramaic was called a tuv, an attitude of mind. And so what those Beatitudes are talking about is developing that attitude of mind that supports a true human life, and that is aliveness, joy. You hear the man Yeshua saying, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. Many circles where his work is presented, it's anything but about bringing you life and bring it more abundantly. It's about controlling you and making sure that you know how deep, dark a sinner you are. And that's not who you are. That's not any part of your inherent nature. Have we all done things? And the word in Aramaic, sin, is it an archery term that means off the mark. Have we all done things that are off the mark? Yeah. But that's not what we are. Don't buy that identity. That's an identity the world sells to keep us under control. Remove that identity and reclaim your created inheritance. Your created inheritance is an awesome being made of the stuff called love. That's what we're designed for. And when we, in this body-mind unit, consciously, purposely go about activating those attitudes of mind, the Beatitudes, that support us living as a human being, then everything begins to change. Everything shifts. And the whole idea of the Beatitudes was a conversation about how to create those attitudes of mind, Beatitudes, that support being. If loveless thoughts, corrupted ideas and experiences from the past convince us that we're not love but something less, if we give up the experience of being and trade it for these nonsensical, absurd thoughts about ourselves, about others, about life, the world, our body, sex, the future, danger. In short, the world teaches us to think insanely about just about everything. And one by one, and it's not going to happen overnight. Don't expect to jump into this and everything's going to change overnight. It's going to take conscious, consistent work. If you come from 1,000 generations of people who have degraded themselves, their children, abused their children verbally, mentally, emotionally, nutritionally, religious abuse is a major thing in this culture. That dragging a child out of being the active presence of love into a fear-based mind where one thinks of themselves as ready for punishment if they happen to make one wrong step. And, you know, that whole game is just insane. And if we're entrapped in those patterns, we unconsciously replicate generational behaviors and develop behaviors based on these insane, loveless ideas. Start to restore your mind to the state it was designed to function out of. Guess what? The power supply your mind is designed to function out of. Guess what it's supposed to be plugged into? It's absolutely designed to be plugged into the active presence of love. And we live in a culture that, by and large, is pretty bizarre and pretty insane. And doesn't teach us that we are love, but teaches us that we're a lot less. If that teaching has been going on in your life for decades, if it's been in your parents' lives for decades, and their parents' lives for decades, and their parents before them and theirs before them, then you're trapped in a desert. The real work of the man named Yeshua is not to come and do anything other than show you how to escape, how to remove yourself from those insane patterns. And so we refer to the hostility and fear-based self as non-being. And if we take on that non-being identity as who we are, then the true being that we are is functionally dead. Again, in the ancient teachings, that was called living in the desert. These energies and experiences based in fear or hostility do not belong in your human form. Stop it. Stop it and claim your human life. These unconscious dynamics are destroyers of human life. What is human life? Hold a newborn. You know exactly what human life is. That's what you're designed for. That's what you're made out of. And if you live out of, if you don't know another self, then the true self that you are, the one that when you were born, somebody held you in their hands and went, what an awesome presence of love, then you're functionally dead. That was called the first death. The process of overcoming is to take on, use the tools, and do the work to overcome that death. And you remember they said, to those who overcome, they will not taste of the second death. You won't destroy yourself. You'll live as you were designed to live. And the whole basis, the whole bottom line of the teachings of this man named Yeshua has little to do with most of the dogma that runs our world. It's got to do with reclaiming your human life. You might remember the words, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. And so these energies and experiences based in fear or hostility do not belong in your human form. They do not belong in your emotions. They do not belong in your mind. They are only there because of an error. And the undoing of the error is called forgiveness. You'll notice that the culture turned forgiveness around, and they made forgiveness, I let you off the hook because I'm stuck in an hostility or fear dynamic. Forgiving you for what's going on inside of me doesn't change what's going on inside of me. And the idea of forgiveness is to remove these dynamics that destroy a human life. And when you start giving up or forgiving the signs and signals that this obscene idea that you're something less than love starts to dissolve. It starts to disappear. And when it does, you get to claim your human life. We are here in your human life. Now, most everybody in their mind, they go, yeah, well, that might be good for somebody else, but nobody really knows the defects I have. Nobody really knows what's wrong with me. Well, excuse me. There's nothing wrong with you. In your being, you are whole. These lower things from the family dynamics and the cultural dynamics can't touch who you really are. You are still fully intact. And so to start to remove undesirable content, and perhaps more importantly, once you've decided what you wish to rid yourself of, how are you going to do it? How are you going to get rid of the things that you say, gee, I do this against my own will and choice? Please download the worksheet. Start putting the pen to the paper again. Start not with your big major life issues, because this is a tool that is a skill, and the skill takes time to learn. But whenever your mind is showing you realities about yourself, about life, about anyone else that are based in hostility or fear, it's working out of corrupt data. It's working out of this non-being mind. And when we act out of our generational loveless thoughts, we sacrifice our human lives. And we see life, you know, Paul talked about, we see life as though through a glass darkly. And the darkened glass is about all the dynamics that we refuse to face in ourselves and refuse to change, because we think if we looked there, it would destroy us. And guess what? I've guided thousands of people through looking there. It's never destroyed any of them. A world where danger and trouble lurk, of course, isn't all out there. It's in here. And if we hold that world in here, then, you know, the ancient teaching said, here's how the world works, folks. Ask and you receive. If we're stuck in fear and hostility, we corrupt everything we look at. And for sure, that hostility and fear that is a marker for corrupt data shows us a world that's filled with that corruption. And when we start to rid ourselves of that internalized corruption, when we begin to forgive it, everything starts to change. Whenever we look out from a darkened mind, everything we look on takes the hue of our darkness. And it always appears that somebody else has the problem. A sobering question to ask yourself, if you're pained about all the darkness that you see in the world, is, if they're the one with the problem, why am I the one with the pain? The world appears dark because of our projected realities and this apparatus that we have called the body-mind unit that is corrupted by hostility and fear. And so, please take my word, it is all changeable. You don't have to live with any of that. Thinking is electrical in nature. There are tools. There are ways to understand how to change the basis and the pattern of the thinking that your generations have done. There are ways to come out of the desert and move into the promised land. What's the promised land? This isn't a religious journey. This is just life. What is the promised land? The promised land is moving into a conscious co-creative space, accessing and removing old corrupt information from your brain cells technology. From your brain cell structure is a technology that was described in the ancient Aramaic language thousands of years ago. Now, thinking patterns resist change, and people who hold power over us through old, fearful, and hostile ways, you know, they've changed the definition of forgiveness and made it something about letting others off the hook for what's happening inside of us. There's an awesome quote from James Allen, who's considered to be, you know, around 1900, was considered to be the father of modern psychology. He says, "Darkness ceases only when light is introduced. So ignorance can only be dispersed by knowledge, selfishness by love." And that's where we want to support you going, is into your true human being, your true human life. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room for us to talk about, or any callers?
No. Everybody's just listening. Call-in number is 646-200-4169. We have about 8 minutes. Give us a call.
Yes, we'd be delighted if you would. Jim, any thoughts at this moment?
No, nothing to add. I think you're hitting it pretty well. Nancy did mention a thank you, that she had something come to mind that she can start a worksheet with. So I just want to say
awesome.
To her that we're here to try and support that process. And as this might be a good time to mention that David has the Building the Brain Cells game and wants people to learn to develop a support system for accountability for doing a little bit of this work each day. Not that you have to spend, you know, 7 hours a day doing worksheets, but if you make a commitment to do one or two or three worksheets a day and then develop a support person that can help hold you accountable, you can email them or text them when you've done it. This really has been a very powerful tool for people to help them keep their process moving forward, and I think it's a good thing to offer Nancy or anybody else that's listening to either set that up with someone you know or shoot an email to David. Is it David Hayes at Y again?
Yeah.
DavidHayes at yagain.com.
And he would be thrilled to support you in that.
There is a section,
and we do have a caller.
There is a space on the website with some information about the Building the Brain Cells game, and that's what David's developed. And before we take the caller, David, are you still there? Have any thoughts to add to that? Oh, I guess
no,
he's
I
not
think
there.
Tim covered it pretty well.
There he is.
Someone, hello.
Go ahead, David.
Yep. No, I think Tim handled it very well. And if someone has some questions about it, you know, as you said, go to the website, take a look at it, and give me an email or give me a ring, and we can chat about it. And I think Jeannie did say that there was a caller that was there.
Fabulous. So, Jean, we have a caller?
Yes. Area code 901, you're on the air. Who do we have? Area code 901.
Car 54, where are you?
901.
Sure. William Sonoma.
Okay, I guess not.
Okay. Well, 901, we didn't come through, so if you want to call us back, we'll try again. So when we look at, let's go back and talk about the forgiveness process again. You know, It was originally a tool for creating inner change and maintaining the essence of our human lives, love, in oneself. And what happened was forgiveness became outer-directed, and the Greek idea of letting others off the hook was substituted. Pardoning became forgiveness. And, of course, if you pardon someone, you let somebody off the hook. That's a nice thing to do. However, if you think when you've done that, you've done your forgiveness work, you're incorrect. I'll oftentimes have somebody here that I'm, you know, doing this workshop called Why Is This Happening to Me Again on Aramaic Forgiveness, and I say, well, you know, I don't need to do that, Michael, because I've already forgiven everybody, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my children, my parents, my spouse, my former spouse. I've even forgiven my future spouses. And what I know by that language is that person has done zero, no forgiveness yet, because forgiveness has got nothing to do with letting others off the hook for what's happening inside of you. So when that substitution took place, forgiveness pretty much disappeared from the planet. And so generation upon generation upon generation, we've accumulated these insane thoughts, we've accumulated these insane dogmas and doctrines, and more pain that have distorted our view of the world and everyone in it, including ourselves. If you think you're not, if you don't get yourself as the experience of the active presence of love, you're not seeing yourself. You're seeing a picture in your head of ideas that have been forced into you that are a lie. They're not true. So pain is just a marker for corrupt energy within your structure. Energies that don't belong in anyone's mind. I kind of suspect that the definition of forgiveness was changed in order to disappear the tool which could free people from the outer-directed control and repeated cycles of poor choices based in fear or hostility, and bring them into conscious creation. But that doesn't support the power structure of the world very well. So those who have no way to remove the literal electronic patterns in brain cells, patterns of fear or hostility, become locked into those states of lower intelligence based in hostility and fear. Hostility and fear darken and defile the perceptual mind. And when you recognize that, you have the opportunity to go in and remove everything that's defiled your mind. And as you remove that, in comes this awesome presence, this awesome human life, and that's where we want to go. That's where we want to head. Karl Marx gave us an interesting insight when he said, the way that you destroy a culture is to change the definition of the meaning of its words. And why would changing the definition of a word destroy a culture? Because once you change the definition of a word, people cannot think logically or truthfully about the topics related to that word. And that leads them to confusion. And confusion leads to, for most people, more hostility and fear. If you don't have the tool, if you've never known there was a tool, if nobody ever told you that forgiveness was about how you delete from your experience things that didn't belong, then how could you ever delete those things? The tool was disappeared. We're here to reestablish that tool, to change the patterns and the propensity to try to control or take control through fear and hostility and its inertia. Fear and hostility, I'd offer, are markers for corrupt data in brain cells. Whenever they raise their ugly heads, then the work is about removing those markers and being reestablished in your human life. And that's what we're here to support you in doing. And what we found is people who do that restore themselves. Awesome experience. Not that there aren't still challenges, not that there isn't still work to do, but when you start to restore yourself, you will find yourself having the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Have a great day. Bring somebody with you tomorrow on the show.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.